Hey, so it's me, Zev. I'm editing this after it's being recorded. Duh. And I have to say that this episode was messy, but I love messy things. I love messy food. I love my messy life. I love messy hairstyles. So, you know, this is perfect because I love editing things. So I edited this episode to the best of my abilities for it to make sense to you guys. And if it doesn't make sense, you guys aren't crazy enough. Go chill a bit, have an energy drink, then you come back, and then perhaps you're crazy enough to get this, to grasp this episode, which you need to. No, but honestly, this is an amazing episode. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I'm interviewing Omar Al-Sajali, who is a photographer and videographer. And we recorded this episode via Zoom. And honestly, things weren't working out. I have no idea what happened, but everything kept going wrong that day. So it only made sense for the recording to somehow slip up and make some mistakes as well. But honestly, we let this happen to make things great. I don't know what I'm saying, but honestly, what I'm saying is that the episode was so good. I'm so excited about it. You guys have no idea. So just sit back, enjoy, and grab an iced coffee too. I mean, it's the season for it. It only makes sense to do it. Okay, I need to stop. I need to stop obsessing over iced coffee. I'm sorry. Okay, let's begin. Welcome to Art is Alive, everyone. Art to Ween. This is the last episode. Whoa! Right now, I have a cool international guest who's a photographer. His name is Omar. And we had some technical difficulties with Zoom and everything, but everything's working out. You guys know that I'm bad with this. Say hi.
Hey, how's it going?
So for the people who may not be too familiar with you, can't you tell them a bit about yourself? Like, where you're from, what are you doing?
Okay, so I'm originally from a place called Oman. Do you know where that is? Have you heard of it before?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. You Swedish people are quite educated. So I'm originally from Oman. I moved to Scotland when I was 18. So I'm 28 now, so that's about 9-10 years I've been in Scotland. And I'm a photographer. I'm a filmmaker. I'll just stick with those two. Before I start getting a bit too cocky.
Don't worry, cockiness is just the way it is. It's the best thing.
It is. That's very true, yeah.
Yeah. Why photography? Why? How did you get into it?
You know something? I used to be in a band when I was in school. So I always wanted to be like a rock star. And then I did really bad in school. Like I had to redo my grade. So I was held back a year, and that's when I was kind of like, okay, maybe rock star is probably not the maybe being a rock star is probably not an achievable thing. So I was like, okay, I still want to work within music, but I might try and kind of do something a little bit different. So I wanted to do audio engineering. So thankfully, like I did okay in school after that, but I didn't finish school. Actually, I left a year before I was meant to graduate. And I came to Scotland. I studied audio engineering, and throughout that course, I got my degree in it, but halfway through I just bought a camera because, you know, I bought a camera because I remember my parents, they always had like a Nikon film camera. They used to always take pictures of just, you know, parties and whatever. And I was like, I really want to have a camera. It was just so random. I mean, it's so random because yesterday I wanted to buy a skateboard. So that's honestly how random it was. I'm not even good at skateboarding. So I bought a camera and I started going around the city because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go clubbing or anything. So I never had anything to do during the weekend apart from watching movies. And I wanted to do something a bit different and like discover the city because it was my first year in Scotland. So I bought a camera and it was something I could do on my own. And I just started going around taking pictures. And that's when I fell in love with it. And then I got into filmmaking that same year as well. I remember coming home one day, it was summertime, and I was watching TV and I saw a music video and it looked quite simple. So I was like, okay, I think, I could probably do something like that. So I went on YouTube, started learning how to use my camera. And then I filmed a bunch of rappers, you know, and it just kind of grew from there, like photography, video stuff. And it's, you know, it just kept growing and growing and growing. So
that's amazing. Something I discovered you from YouTube.
Oh, no way.
Because you do amazing vlogs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Something that I really dislike with what vloggers do is that they never really, when they focus on themselves and never really invite, well, there's a saying like the third person in the room is supposed to be involved and the third person is the viewer. So people don't really include the viewer in it. Like now we're here, now we're going there. But you are. It feels like I'm with you when
that's awesome.
Vlogs. And so that really stood out to me. And, you know, then I checked your Twitter. You said something about Mac Miller. It was when Divine Feminine came out and it was an album. And you sent a tweet about my favorite part, which for the people who were on my tour last year, you guys know that I did a cover of it with a reggae artist called Angie. You guys can check it out. But I commented on that tweet or something and then we started following each other. So it was great. So so that, you know, gave us something to bond over, I don't know. And
music, yeah. Man, it bonds everyone.
Right. It's an international language of itself.
Definitely.
And so, I don't know, your vlogs inspire me, man. They really do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know this grainy, kind of dark, kind of mystic nature photos that you take. You got your own style, and that's really dope.
Thank you.
And, you know, I took a photography course. My granddad, he was the CEO in Sweden for Fuji Film.
Wow, cool.
So I learned a lot of photography from him.
funny little fact, the presets that I use for my photos are all Fujifilm presets.
Wow, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, I love it. I just love that old, I don't want to sound like a hipster or anything because I'm really not. But I just love that old, like whenever I watch movies, it's just, you know, when you see it taken on film, it's just something so, I don't know, it's so special about it. It's like not digital. There's a bit of softness to it. There's grain, the color pops, and it's such a nostalgic feel. And that's why I love it so much. Like Fuji and Kodak, those two are my favorite. Even for my videos, actually, the LUTs that I use for my videos are all Fujifilm LUTs.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
That's dope. And so I took a photography course a year ago and your Lightroom video really helped me.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I really like your tutorials and things. And sometimes I think you're trolling at times because you do the most simple thing. And then,
you know, it's always the simple things that people find hard to do because it's so obviously there. But you're obviously going to be like, nah, there must be a harder way to do it, even though it's not. It's so simple. And yeah, they get a lot of views, so I'm happy. I've got quite a few coming out, actually. There's one where I'm literally just editing a photo in Lightroom for about 9 minutes, and I'm just like, I'll record it and put it out. So yeah, I'm always trying different stuff, especially this year because of the stuff. I'm just like, I may as well focus a lot on my YouTube, you know?
Yeah. You should do a vlog where you just do your day-to-day life, you know, like.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that if I have something interesting. You have no idea how uninteresting my life is. If I'm not doing like photo stuff, I swear to God, see this couch behind me?
Yeah.
I just sit there and I'm watching YouTube. That's all I do. But I'm going to the park probably tomorrow after tomorrow. I'm gonna do a vlog on like how to film yourself when no one is there, you know, because sometimes, you know, you want to go out, you want to film stuff, but you don't have someone with you. How do you film yourself? You know, so I'll probably do something like that. But I think when there's something interesting, because see, last year, I wish I vlogged last year, because last year was a hell of a year for me. I did so much. And now that I think about it, I'm like, damn, why did I not document this, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's easy to, you know, say it after it's done.
Definitely, that's true.
But yeah, so yeah, photography. Was it hard for you to, was it hard for you to master it? But like, what was it like getting into photography, the business, starting, you know, shooting rappers, etc.? Like, what was
So I actually got photography work through my video work. So funnily enough, when I bought a camera, I started with photography, but then I very quickly, and by that I mean probably like a week after, I got into video, and the video stuff took control. So I kind of, when I say I started with the photography, I mean like I was in automatic mode, you know? So I had no idea about ISO or f-stop or aperture, or any of that stuff. Even lenses, I had no idea. Moved to filmmaking stuff. I remember going on Facebook and I was like, okay, I wanna make videos of rappers. So I tried to find as many rappers in Scotland as I could. And I think I messaged like, 20 or 30 rappers, and only one messaged back, because I hadn't done anything previously. So they were like, well, why am I going to waste my time with this guy? One person got back to me. I went and I videoed them. I watched them, you know, they actually told me to take the video down, but I kept it on private because I always wanted there. And I watched it back and I'm like, my God, it was good, but it was crap, you know? Yeah. But then like, I quickly, like when that video came out, all these rappers started messaging me because they liked the video so much, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, yo, we want a video. So I learned very quickly about like video filmmaking, and I got so addicted to it that every time I had free time, I was on YouTube just learning. And then when it started becoming a job, for those of you who are not watching, I just did the quotation, finger quotation marks. But when it became a job, I wanted something that was, you know, not a job. So that's when I started getting back into photography. And I found this community on Instagram in Scotland, who were doing these really amazing photos. Like I was just like, what the hell are they doing to make their photos look amazing? So I was like, okay, before I message these people, I need to learn about photography. So I learned about ISO, f-stop, and you know, the amount of people that talk so much trash on YouTube, I ended up making videos myself, just getting straight to the point. But I learned about all these things. I learned how you can like use them to really get some crazy, crazy photos. And then once I mastered that, I started like messaging these people who were going around the city taking these amazing like city type photos, you know, very Instagram-y type photos, joined them, and we created like this collective. And then a year after that, we kind of just ended up doing our own thing really, but that's how I ended up starting to get into photography. And I started getting photography work through people that I know. It's all about networking, to be honest. I think I get all my work through networking. That's pretty much how I got into photography and filmmaking, really. I just kind of did it myself. I didn't study it or anything. YouTube is my college.
YouTube is great. Learning new things, it's amazing.
For free.
You know, society is really like, school this how many years, and then graduating, then perhaps you can get a job 9 to 5 and then support yourself that way. But honestly, you don't really need that if you're smart about it and just try and work your hardest.
That's true.
Do anything you want to. It's gonna suck, you know, when you get rejected or when people tell you no. But
you get rejected a lot. I do social media marketing for like two businesses here. I remember messaging around, I messaged around, I think maybe 50 businesses, and they all said no, only one got back to me. So you get rejected a lot, man, like a lot, you know, but I don't care, like it is what it is.
Yeah, it sucks at the time, but then you just move on.
You just move on. Yeah, exactly.
If they don't want you,
that's their loss. It's their loss.
Yeah, it's somebody else for you. And honestly, being with a company that doesn't see your worth, I mean, it's not really worth it. It's just wasting your time. It's wasting their time. It's wasting everybody's time. So it's just about moving on and forgetting about it. And if they're interested in the future, that's cool. But perhaps there's somebody else who's better.
Definitely.
That works for everything. That works for friendships. That works for companies. That works for everything, basically, in life. That much. Yeah. So that's important. But yeah, I'm so happy about a new supporter for the show, Twitter. Thank you for that. I actually pitched in my podcast last week and they got back to
me.
It was just by chance, you know. I was just pitching in my show to a Twitter business and I was like, hey, this is the show. This is how many listeners I have. This is what I do. These guests I've had, these companies are supporting me. I'm doing a Halloween special. And I want to do something with you, hit me up. And so a few hours later, I got my own account manager who was like, yo, that's cool.
That's cool. I love Twitter at the moment. I'm like, I've honestly, I'm not even saying that just because you just said it, but Twitter, like I've honestly found me and my girlfriend, actually, we found a really good audience on Twitter. It's amazing. I'm actually addicted to it. I'm so sick of Instagram. Like they really do like mess things up. Twitter for me is like where it's at. I actually really like Twitter a lot now. I didn't care for it much before, but in the last few months, I've just like really concentrated on that a lot. Me and my girlfriend, we started a wedding photography business. Obviously because everything's kind of canceled this year, we're like, okay, let's kind of capitalize if we can for next year. And I made a website on Squarespace, and oh my god, like I'm so addicted to like all the stuff that's on there, because Squarespace is amazing, by the way. It's like they have everything in there. I wish I was sponsored by Squarespace. I can say this because I genuinely like love it. And there's like a thing called SEO, which is search engine optimization. And I'm so addicted to learning that at the moment because I have no clue about it.
Yeah. They helped me out a lot this spring with my site. So I'm happy about that. I want to know, since this is a Halloween special, what's Halloween like in Scotland? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Do people care? Do people not care?
You're asking the wrong person, because even for New Year's, I stay at home. Like I celebrate at home. So I never go out, but it's, you know, I mean, they sell whatever they can in all the supermarkets. I'm pretty sure within the university, population, it's pretty popular because they all just have like Halloween parties and stuff. But I would say, obviously the kids, they'll go out trick or treating and stuff. But I live in an apartment building and it's all like grown-ups here. I think once in the 10 years that I've lived here, only once there were these two girls that came trick or treating. And I was like, I have a packet of like crisps if you want that, but I don't have chocolate or anything. Oh. And then they never came back. So I would say it's a big deal for like the kids and university students. I don't know about that this year though, obviously.
Yeah.
So BBC The Social came about, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I would probably say maybe around four or five years ago. So it's basically a platform for generally anyone who has an interest in anything to kind of just give them a voice, really. So, for example, if you're like an artist, if you're a comedian, if you're like a filmmaker or whatever, and, you know, you're obviously not like huge in the industry or anything like that, but you need a platform to start, you just send them a message. Honestly, they kind of just accept anyone, really. And you get like allocated a producer who you kind of bounce off scripts to. And I started off as a filmmaker, so this was when I was doing my music stuff. And one of the founders of The Social, so there's like three. So one of them, he messaged me because he's really into like the rap scene in Scotland. He now works in the TV sector of the BBC. So honestly, good for him. He's such a cool guy. But so he messaged me and he was like, yo, I've seen your rap videos. and I love your style. You should come on board with this and create some stuff for us. So I was really inspired by Vice. You know Vice, everyone knows Vice. So I was inspired by Vice at the time with their documentaries. And I was like, I really want to create documentaries like this. So they obviously gave me a platform to do that. And I did that for like a good year, just doing these docs. And then I kind of got burnt out because it was just the same thing over and over again. So I was like, oh, I want to try some comedy stuff, maybe stuff face to face. And I did this one video where it was like things not to say to a photographer, and that went viral. I got like 1 million views. I don't know how many, it might be at 2 million now. And that was cool for me, but it was just a fluke because every other video I did after that, it never got anywhere close to that. But it's, you know, I have a really good relationship with them. I kind of disappear and then appear again. Like I think the past month I've done like three things for them. I never know who my producer is anymore. They kind of all just message me asking if like I could do stuff for them. So I'll just usually message one producer and say, right, who am I working with this year? And then they're like, you're working with this guy. But that's pretty much what the social is like, it's comedy, it's documentary, it's poetry, it's absolutely anything. It gives anyone a voice. So that's what it is. And that's kind of how I got started with the BBC. And then I started doing stuff for other sectors of the BBC. And then that kind of gave me a bit of legitimacy as well. I could say that the BBC was like one of my clients, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did appear on a soap opera on Radio 4 a few years ago.
Cool.
For the people who listen to it, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry if I bored you out. No. But yeah, we were in this, they have these amazing studios for, they have these amazing stages to make, sound effects for the radio dramas. Mm. So we were just recording there. And I was actually just discovered by a producer there. I was just visiting the broadcasting house in London. And nice. It was like, I like your voice. I have a script here and I'm looking for this part here, and I'm like, okay, cool, show me the script. And then we just did a few episodes and it was great. And that's how I got my break internationally with acting and stuff. And now sometimes Netflix is hitting my management up, and SVT, which is the Swedish equivalent to the BBC, asking me to do all kinds of things, like if they have any parts for me or things like that. I just come in, film it for them, or acted out for them, and then they just contact me back if they have something.
Yeah.
So that's great. Before the pandemic, I was so sick. I had this flu, which really sucked. And so SVT, they called me up. They were like, hey, we're doing a short film for Gothenburg Film Festival. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. So I just had to, you know, because I don't know, like I grew up with these sort of stuff. Yeah, the cat. I just grew up, you know, as a former child actor. I just grew up with these sort of things, just coming in, just reading the script, learning the characters, just filming.
That's awesome.
So, you know, doing it, although I was like sick, I don't know, it just had to be done.
yeah, there you go.
No, it wouldn't work after the pandemic. then, this was like a month before. So I had another mindset. But, you know, I'm really grateful for the BBC because they were really supportive. And so that's great. Your video on what not to say to a photographer, that inspired what we're gonna talk about next, and that is client nightmares.
Sweet.
So I was thinking, since you've been in the business for quite a while, there are people who are gonna say things to you that flick you off a little bit. So I thought, why not talk about them? Some examples, like things you've worked on, but things go wrong. Do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday actually, because so, in terms of things going wrong, now, touch wood. I touched my floor for anyone who was wondering. My floor is wooden. I'm so prepared for my shoots, whether it's photos or videos. Most of the time, because I do a lot of low budget stuff with rappers, we usually film everywhere. And sometimes, you know, the police will come and they'll be like, right, what are you guys doing? For me, if the cops come, I just talk to them like a human being. I'm just like, we're just filming a music video, you know, because we're just doing like a college project. And they're usually like, okay, cool, that's it. But there are other people, when the cops come, they're like, what are you guys doing? They'll be like, why do you care? I'm, you know, I have freedom. I can do whatever I want. And that's when you start trouble. You know, that's when things go wrong. You know, talk to them like a human being. You got to look at it from like a police's point of view. You got like two guys in like this abandoned warehouse. You're obviously going to be suspicious, wondering what the hell are they doing? Yeah. Are they filming themselves talking about how they're going to burn down this warehouse? What are they doing? So talk to them like a normal human being. Trust me, they'll leave you alone. But normally for me, things don't really go wrong. Maybe like a battery won't work, but I have like 20 batteries for my cameras. So I charge them up. I usually have everything ready like 2 days before. But I've been working with a guy called Mega. He's a rapper. He's from Wales, actually, but he lives here. We've done like 4 videos in the past month. It's actually insane now that I think about it. But he's so open to my crazy ideas. That's why I love working with him, because I'll tell him like an idea for a video and he'll just be like, you know what? I trust you. Let's do it. So there's this one idea I wanted to do where we have this like colored backdrop in the middle of nowhere. It's like this completely abandoned like piece of land. And I just, there was something so appealing about having just this yellow backdrop. And then it's just like a dilapidated kind of, you know, area. And it's right next to my apartment building, actually. I sound like I live in the ghetto.
No.
This is how Scotland works. You can live in a nice area and then right in front of you, it's just like a swamp. So it was me, him, and a guy called Lee Jones, a photographer, fantastic photographer, actually. So we ended up going to this like abandoned area, and it was a pretty windy day, right? Now, we ordered this very heavy backdrop. It's like big, heavy. And I ordered these backdrop. Hold on 2 seconds. My foot is asleep. Okay, cool. I'm gonna try and keep talking. This is gonna be awesome. Oh, yeah. Woo-wee! Oh, this is an interesting one. Okay, this is when things go wrong. This is a good story. So, okay, cool. It's kind of going away now, actually. Okay, so yeah, I had these really cheap stands from Amazon. They're like £20. So we went to this area and it was a pretty windy day. So we put up the backdrop and this backdrop would just not stay up. It just kept falling and falling. And the thing was that the backdrop was pretty expensive. So every time it fell, it would get ripped, you know? So we were basically wasting money. So what I ended up doing, I was like, right, what are we going to do? I actually made a vlog on this as well. So I was like, okay, we can either cancel the shoot or I can think of like a plan B. So what we ended up doing was we came back to my apartment building. We went to the car park. It's like a basement car park. So it's all enclosed. And we ended up filming in there. And it actually looked so much better. Yeah. So having a plan B, that was actually my plan B just in case that didn't work. So having a plan B will always help. But you know, with things going wrong, nothing really does go wrong. I think until like the shoots get a lot bigger. I did this pretty big shoot. It was like a pretty nice budget, but we were so prepared. It was like 2 months preparation and everything went so well. I was pretty happy with that. But client nightmares, I have a lot. I won't name any names because I'm still very good friends with them and a lot of them still do use me. But there was this one guy, right? He's never done this again. But so we were meant to start the shoot at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I travel all the way to where he lives. It was like an hour away by train. And I get there and he messages me and he's like, yo, dude, I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm just getting like a haircut. I was like, you know what? That's fine. Yeah. Don't ask. So he's like, yeah, man, I'll be a little bit late, dude, but I'll be there very soon. I'm just getting a haircut. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So an hour goes by, nothing. He's like, hey, man, sorry, I'm getting held up. I'll be there soon. Then another hour goes by and I'm like, I'm like, okay, what do I do in this city now? I've gone around like twice, you know, I'm sick and tired of seeing the sights. So then I call up one of my friends because she was in the area. We went and we met up in Costa and we were just hanging about. But then after like 4 hours, she's like, look, I got to go home. Like, I just finished work and I'm kind of tired. I was like, look, go ahead. So now it's about 4 hours go by, nothing, right? And he's not picking up his calls or anything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to check when the next train is to leave. It was around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon now. So I was checking and then he calls me and he's like, yo, dude, I'll be there. Like, I'm going to be there in about 5 minutes. I'm on the way. Sorry, I got held up.
Oh.
And we didn't start the shoot till like 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. I didn't get back home till like 11 o'clock at night. We were meant to start at 10 and finish at like 5 o'clock. So that for me, like just being late is something that I hate so much because
yeah.
I don't know, like at least tell me in advance you're going to be late. So, you know, I can kind of not be there 5 hours beforehand. So yeah, lateness is something that I hate, but touch wood, like I've been all right with this, with the lateness thing. I think I've only had 2 clients who have ever been super late. Most of the time it's like maybe 15 minutes, which is fine. So yeah, not many things really go wrong apart from like the backdrop thing, but that ended up looking like an amazing video anyways. Like our plan B was dope because I never really get to shoot indoors because a lot of the budgets that I work with are pretty low budget and you have to pay to shoot somewhere, you know, and it can get quite expensive if you're hiring out like a venue or something. So we mostly shoot outdoors. It rains a lot here. It rains a lot. And like, you know, it can be like, it was sunny about 2 seconds ago. And now I think it'll rain today. I'm not too sure. So we tend to go out on the assumption that it's going to be a dry day, not even a sunny day, just a dry day. And then all of a sudden it'll snow. Yeah. So what we end up having to do is we have to like go to these areas where it's like, you know, maybe under like a shelter, like a bus stop or something and shoot there. So usually when it starts raining, we'll maybe do one shot in the rain just so it looks cool. And then for the rest of it will be either me under a shelter and then the rapper is like, you know, being just rained on, or we'll find somewhere where it's a bit more enclosed where we can shoot. But there have been a few times where mid shoot, it's gotten so bad that we've had to just like cancel and then do it another day, which sucks so much. I hate that so much because if I'm shooting, I want it to be done that day so I can edit and then have it done within like, you know, 3-4 days. So there have been times that has happened, but not as much as you think. There have been times where we've like pre-prepared and then on the day the weather just changes. Like you can look at the weather every single day for like Saturday and it'll say it's dry, dry, dry. And then on the day it's just raining and you're just like, you're ready, you've got your clothes on, the bag is in the hall, and then you're just like with your phone, right? I think we're gonna have to like, you know, cancel. And it's quite sad because you're like, you know, you're in that mood where you just want to do things, because I love keeping busy.
Yeah.
And the worst feeling is when you have a day doing nothing, when you haven't prepared for that. Because if I have a day where I'm doing nothing, I like to prepare a day before so that I know I can just relax and do absolutely nothing. Kind of like today, actually. So I prepared yesterday, but if it's like a shoot day and then I don't do anything, I'm like, damn, man, that, you know, I've just missed out on some work. Because then what can happen is also that client can be busy for God knows how long, you know? And then you're like, well, I've missed out on work. I've missed out on money. I've missed out on like another video that I can add to my website or whatever to show off. Yeah. So it has like a knock-on effect, you know? Mm-hmm. And it sucks because I come from a country where like it never rains. It's always sunny. It's always blue skies. So whenever you go out, you know it's going to be a dry day. You know it's going to be hot. You know it's going to be sunny. To here, where it's just like so crazy.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about living on an island.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything is just unpredictable with the weather. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are you planning to do next? Anything?
I've been working with a company called Iola. They're like a glasses company. They're really cool, actually. Funnily enough, I've got like some of their glasses here. So I've just been finishing up doing some product photography for them. So I actually got the job through one of my friends. She does stuff for them, actually. And then there was one project she couldn't do because she didn't have any of the stuff that she needed. So she ended up passing it over to me, and then they hired me for the summer stuff and then their autumn collection. So I've been doing stuff with them, and I've been enjoying that a lot because it's something totally different. It's like product photography. It's indoors. I don't have to go out. I can wear whatever I want. I could be totally naked taking pictures and like no one will know, you know? And like, I don't need like a crazy setup or anything. So it's been so interesting doing that. And I did a vlog on product photography, actually. In fact, funny story, I got this job because of that vlog. It was during lockdown. I was kind of bored and I was like, all right, I want to try and teach myself something new. So I ended up doing like a product photography vlog. That's got like 50, let's check how many views that has actually on YouTube, because it's at 50,000 something at the moment. So that did really well on Twitter, on Instagram, and then onto YouTube. And then that's how I got this job. So it's kind of cool how like a vlog that I done has resulted in me getting work twice for that thing. 52,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked with it because I made some money on it actually as well, which is cool. So that's what I've been working on at the moment, but because of the pandemic, like I was meant to do. So, me and one of my friends, Darren, so I do an online show with a guy called Dazza. It's called Does It Fry, where we basically just fry foods. And we've got like 150,000 followers on Facebook at the moment, something along the lines of that. So we work with a comedian called Gary Folds. He's a pretty big comedian in Scotland. So we film all of his like live shows and everything. So he's meant to have a live show at the end of this month, but he's canceled it. I'm not too sure why. I think just because like, we're going into lockdown again in Scotland, I think this week. So he's had to cancel that, which sucks because I was really looking forward to that. So it's kind of like, you know, something that like, I was thinking about this, in the shower actually today. I think this year I'm really just working on like marketing myself and trying out new things and really just kind of creating my own brand. I like to think that I have my own brand, but I think working on it more, it's really important to just have like a brand, because I think for clients to look at that and say, okay, cool, this guy really has his stuff on point. It's an important thing. And I think now that I have the time to do that, I want to do it more. I've been uploading a lot more videos onto Instagram as well. Just a lot more behind the scenes stuff, color grading, before and afters, behind the scenes, all this type of stuff. It's just nice to kind of change it up a bit. So I've been working on that, working on like new stuff. Me and my girlfriend, we've been photographing a lot of like couples photo shoots, just things that, because I'm so used to doing tours and because I do a lot of tour photography, a lot of concert photography, music videos. My stuff lies a lot within the music industry, so I like to try doing different things just to learn. I like learning, I like teaching people as well. So whatever I learn, I like to, you know, put that onto YouTube for other people to learn as well. So really just trying different things to see what lands, you know.
Yeah, and you know you should never be afraid of just trying things and just
definitely. If I fail, I did this like me and my girlfriend, we got this Airbnb like 2 weeks ago in this beautiful farm, and I was like, I'm gonna do a video. She's a real estate photographer, so I was like, I'm gonna do a video on like real estate photography. This will do well on YouTube. And the photos look so bad. They were so bad. I was like, I don't know. I might put that up anyways and like just, you know, put a lot of adverts on it and just deal with the fact that I probably get a lot of hate messages. But yeah, I definitely failed on that, which is fine because, you know, at least I tried it. But so far, I'd like to think I've been pretty all right with like a lot of the stuff that I've been trying out. I mean, you know, especially the product photography, because I got work from that. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
definitely try things. Always try things. Don't tell yourself, well, I might fail. Try it, because you never know. You might end up being so good at it that you're just so addicted to it, or you might end up being super bad at it where you can just say, you know what, I'll just leave that alone for now.
And then you gain some experience from that.
100%.
And just never be afraid of putting different things out there to see what sticks, what your audience likes.
I was always afraid of that because my Instagram is super super photography based, and it got to the point where I was just like, I was like, oh, do I want to break my theme, my Instagram theme? Because all my theme is super like, you know, blues, pinks, and like yellows of like sand, sea, beaches. I'm like, do I want to spoil that by putting like a music video in there? Do I want to spoil that by putting like a vlog in there? But to be honest, like most of my friends, they look at myself, they don't even like it. So I'm like, well, I'm doing it for me. I'd rather do it for me.
That's so much. I hate that so much.
And then when I meet them, they're like, oh, I love the stuff that you're doing. I'm like, it's good to know because you never like any of my stuff.
I was literally having a conversation with my friend Kat, you know, the one who works with medicine, about she never likes things. And I'm like, even to her friends or anyone she follows, I'm like, why don't you like stuff? That's how the algorithm works. Instagram
prioritizes
what you like. And Instagram doesn't know what it is that you like.
Yeah.
Like things. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah. My three biggest supporters on Instagram are my sister, my mother, and my girlfriend. They're like my three biggest supporters. And me, I always like my own posts as well.
Yeah, that's cool. I really need to get my shit together with Instagram and Twitter. I've been focused too much on like TikTok and Snapchat and stuff. I am this person that I just really like telling boring facts to people just because it's not really anything you will have any use for, but like it's cool facts. Like teeth. They got 1,000 teeth.
That's awesome, actually. I've got a cool fact for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you buy sweet potatoes, if you ever buy sweet potatoes, they are not actually sweet potatoes. They are yams.
No.
Hell yeah.
That sucks.
Go on Google. I mean, I hope I'm not wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is like an actual fact. Go on Google, type in sweet potatoes versus yams, and you'll see a picture. Sweet potatoes, they actually look like normal colored, red, orangey colored things. So yeah, there you go.
So I just wanted to ask you about your day. Like, what are you gonna do today? Like, what are your plans?
I like that question. That's a good question. I think I'm probably gonna take like a chill out day today. I've got some editing to do. I need to edit like an episode of Does It Fry. I'll need to send off a few more things to Iola, the glasses company, send them my invoice as well. And then probably just my girlfriend's home today as well. She's got a kind of like an editing day at home. So probably just talk to her quite a bit. But yeah, for the most part, like nothing really.
There you go. Sorry, this episode was a bit messy. But you know, my life is a beautiful mess, so I thought it would reflect this episode as well. So yes, for the people who may be interested, I've listed Does It Fry, I've listed the videos Omar's done for the BBC, and his social medias down in the description below. If you guys want to follow him and check him out, I'd highly suggest you doing so, because he's amazing at what he does, and so supportive. So that's great. And I also have linked my social medias, and there is also a playlist with all the Arduino episodes from this year if you guys are interested and in listening to everything. You can do that on your preferred streaming site. Thank you so much to everybody involved. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank my label. I want to thank all the companies who've been so supportive of me, and you guys who listen. It means a lot to me. And I want you guys to have a happy All Saints Day if you guys celebrate it today, or if you guys just have a cute weekend in. No matter how life is for you, I know this year hasn't been that easy. Just take a chill and be yourselves. It's so important. Mwah! Bye!